I just wanted to say that I didn't actually watch the whole movie today. I watched, and we'll talk about why, but it was mainly because I was busy at work today and I didn't finish it. But
oh, you thought it was problematic? Huh? I was too woke for you. Is that why?
I was like, why is so much black music playing? No. No, I had a good time. We'll talk about it later. But no, I didn't get a chance to finish it. And so I'm kind of pulling like a half Luis this week where, like, what was the movie we talked about last week that he didn't
Civil War.
Watch? Yeah. I'm kind of doing that this week, you know. Okay. But I watched, I'm going to be able to keep up with some of it. I'm going to be in tune to some of the conversation. That face at me one more time, Ed.
How much did you watch?
I watched 53 minutes of this movie, which is basically half.
Not even, though, is it?
Basically half.
Not quite.
Basically.
We're going to get to spoilers talking about Monkey Man later in the episode. We'll do like a little non-spoiler like reaction, then we'll get into spoilers. But before we do all that, let me introduce to you the show. Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd, the podcast where three friends, three amigos, three bambinos, three compadres, three pals talk about nerd shit.
Is that what we're calling ourselves?
Sorry,
now?
I was chasing a fly over here and then you just went quiet.
My name is Luis Gonzalez and with me is
Miguel Sanchez.
Ed Deadpool.
And every week we talk about the news. We talk about some trailers. We do a feature discussion about a movie. This week we're doing Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what we're into. So, you know, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Please, for the love of God. No, I'm just kidding. Do whatever.
No, we don't want to sound desperate. Hey, guys, thank you for liking and subscribing. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you could just smack that ding-dong button.
You guys know what to do.
No, I'm kidding. We never do that in this show. We're going to talk about the news. Big news really happened today. Well, not today. I don't know why I said today. Big news happened this past week. Have you guys heard about the Delta emulator?
That blew up the chat, man.
I blew up. By the chat being blowing up, it was me blowing up the chat. I was the one hyped about this. If you don't know, the listeners at home, the Delta emulator is this new app where people can emulate old games from Nintendo to Sega to N64, all Game Boy. It's kind of like it hasn't happened officially through the App Store. So I don't know, officially. So you can go in there, and this whole week I've been playing like old Nintendo games and Super Mario 3, playing Pokemon Red on my free time. And it's like my Game Boy is back in my hand. Playing DuckTales, things like
that. Can you, I don't want to overtalk it, but can you kind of help me break it down just a little bit? I'm downloading an app, and is all the games I want to play are right there on that app?
Great question, Miguel. You go to the App Store, the official App Store for the Apple Store, and you download Delta. And from there, that is just a player. That is just a way to play games. Now you need to get the games. I followed a thread on Threads, and it took me to archive.org or something like that.
We'll link it down below.
I'll link it down below in the description once I find it. And then you go to that website and you can look for old software, and there you search for like Super Mario, Pokemon, Power Rangers, whatever old ass games you're thinking of. It's going to have it there. You download it straight to your phone. You go back to the Delta app. You add that to your library.
And then it's there.
For the viewers at home, I'm going to pull up my app right now, see if you can see it. Okay, that's my home screen. Ooh. And you go
beautiful
to
layout.
Delta. And you go to, oh, cancel that. Okay, so that's like, it's divided into Game Boy, into different platforms.
Oh, nice, nice.
So you swing it, you swing it in each.
What I got that? That's the Nintendo 64 one.
Damn, Ed, just imagine if you still had that iPhone 6S. You know what I mean?
Your phone would melt.
It'd be so hot right now.
But anyway, it's a big if you love old games, if you're into, you know, playing old things that you can't play again right now, check out the Delta emulator. This is not a sponsored episode. It was just like a thing that's been blowing up the internet. It was like the fastest number one app over the weekend.
I bet people are craving for it, you know what I mean?
They're craving, they're hunting for it. And so if you're hunting for it too, check it down below for a link to where you can download some of these games on Delta. Hashtag not sponsored, hashtag not an ad.
Luis,
another sponsored product we're going to talk about is Heinz Barbecue.
Wait, hang on. Shut up, Luis. Ed, go ahead.
No.
Ed, Mr. Gamer, what do you got to hear to contribute to this portion of the news?
I was just going to ask you.
God damn it.
I was just going to ask you to show me how to do that later. Because I got the app and I went to the archive thing and I couldn't figure it out. So, but hey,
that's okay.
Well, luckily, Ed, you can go to our YouTube description or down to our podcast, click that link, and you can find right where you can download all those games for your Delta app.
And Ed, just while you're there, be sure to like and subscribe. Okay.
And check out our episode that comes out this Friday to learn all about it.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Okay.
Till we die.
For asking. Sorry,
I'll offer my kid. You will take the podcast. You will.
Luis, you're about to have a perfect segue to the next item, so go ahead.
Right. Hashtag not ad. Hashtag not sponsored. Sponsored. Speaking of another product, Heinz is coming out with a pink barbecue sauce themed Barbie.
Barbecue.
If you thought thank you, Miguel. Barbecue. If you weren't sick of Barbie, we got more Barbie for you. Put it on your food. Barbecue.
Ed's the sauce guy. I mean, Luis, maybe you are too.
I love
the
good
ketchup
sauce
guy.
Ketchup.
I do have some qualms with putting this like just bright pink sauce.
You're more of a Hunt's ketchup guy.
No, I'm a Heinz all the way. I'm Heinz all the way. Don't rile me up right now, Miguel. No, Heinz. But yeah, like the color is just the off-putting thing about this.
Well, it's not natural.
It's not natural.
Do you guys remember? I mean, we lived through the 90s. This is not a new fad. You know what I mean? Like we were getting like
we had green ketchup.
Green ketchup, right?
What was the green ketchup?
Who cares?
I think they just
ketchup
green.
That was green.
They just dyed it green.
Yeah.
This one is a pink vegan.
This one's
mayo.
Not going to turn you fruity or whatever you think it's going to do.
No. But it's playing off the barbecue. It is a pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce.
It's a mayo? Oh, okay.
Barbecue. It's sauce, a vegan mayo with barbecue sauce. So barbecue sauce with mayo. As you eat your vegan barbecue food, you can use this vegan mayo. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Wait
about
a second.
This.
I mean, I don't want to. Are you about to bust it out right now, Luis? Like you're kind of like.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
here it is. I'm going to taste test it.
You're that guy most of the time, dude.
I still have one Peeps Pepsi can in my fridge, and I don't want to open it. And this year when Easter rolled around, I was like, all right, I'm going to re-up on the Peeps and Pepsi.
This is how I know, because we tweeted a thread or whatever. We threaded about this, okay?
Yeah, we did.
You were like, yo, Pepsi, when am I going to get my when am I going to get my Peep?
That's going to be, I'm going to say that every year until I get my Peeps Pepsi back.
Yeah.
Not really much to also the story, except it's kind of crazy.
Incidentally, Truff, you guys familiar with Truff hot sauce?
Yeah.
The truffle hot sauce. They announced today, courtesy of, I mean, I saw this on IGN, but the Dark Side hot sauce, which is a Star Wars Darth Vader themed hot sauce bottle, which I thought was pretty.
Would try.
It's cool. So it came out Wednesday as we're filming this, and it's exclusive to IGN for a week. So if you want the Darth Vader Dark Side hot sauce, you got to go to IGN.com to the store.
We'll link it down below.
We'll link it. Fuck it. We'll link that one too down below. Okay. It's going to be a linky day. I'm aware of this one, this Truff. I tasted it.
Have you tried it? Yeah.
I have.
I've Tell tried us. All three. Oh wait, you've tried the Dark Side one, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We had it. I work at IGN, so we got a bucket of sauce. It was just like unceremoniously, just like, here's the sauce. We tried it a couple weeks ago, and I've never had Truff sauce before. Okay. So this is the first time I had Truff sauce, and let me tell you, it's good, but a little oily. Like I think you got to mix it with your food. I think what I learned is you have to cook with it.
Was this the only Truff sauce you've had?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys had Trump sauce?
Yeah, Ed put me onto it several years ago. And
I've had all, they've got three different kinds. They just recently added actually a jalapeno lime sauce.
Yes, sir. Yes,
they also have two kinds of spaghetti sauce, and they just started doing their own truffle oil and salt as well. But it started with three original ones, the black truffle, the chipotle truffle, and then there's a white truffle one, which is kind of expensive.
There was also a Mario tie-in truffle where it was mushroom-based.
Oh.
Yeah.
With truff?
With truff. It was a truff collaboration.
I must have missed that one. Damn it. Yeah.
They need to make one for Ninja Turtles, and you'd get that one, huh?
Yeah. What would they cross it with, though? What's the flavor?
Pepperoni. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm an idiot. Yeah,
Frog leg
turtles. Know. You know what I mean? A bunch of turtles.
My mind was going like turtle soup and shit like that. Idiot.
You get the splinter special. You know, just a bunch of rats.
Rat. Superfly. Anyway, I was excited for that.
It's very cool. Yeah, and the design of it's cool too.
Yeah, yeah. Me and my coworker instantly started trying to look it up. You know. It's where did this come from, like, why, but I'm here for it, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
like these pop culture and food crossovers, which has always been a part of my life. I don't know why I'm like getting excited about it now, but like adult food, you know, hot sauce.
Anyway. I'm excited for you know, go to IGN.com, get yourself your own Dark Side Darth Vader hot sauce.
You could also go straight to Ed's house. He's got them all.
Ed, where do you live? What's your address?
Where do you live in Colorado, Miguel?
I've got like three different addresses, baby. Let's go.
Speaking of Disney properties, Disney Plus is coming out with channels. They're coming out with channels, like TV channels on Disney Plus. So let's say you're there, you got a hot plate of food. For a meal, excuse me, and you don't know what to eat. I can't decide. Do I want to watch Captain America: Civil War? Do I want to watch Endgame? Do I want to watch Moon Knight? Well, now you can just go to Disney Plus and pick the Marvel channel, and it'll just play Marvel content 24/7. Similarly, they're also doing it for Star Wars. It's a new thing that they're testing out. Obviously, a lot of streaming services are trying new things. Listen, it's a hard economic time for us, and it's a hard economic time for the companies. You know, you got Paramount Plus ready to sell itself off.
Yeah, to whoever, please,
to whoever. And Disney Plus is absorbing Hulu. It's absorbing Hulu, and it's adding these new channels. What do you think about Disney Plus adding these channels to Disney Plus?
I've got some like technical questions. So is this just
go ahead.
Is this something like cable where if you hop on, it's already like midway through?
It is what it is.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I could in my darkest moments, you know, I could sympathize that you're lost. You don't know what movie to pick. There's so much content to pick from. You know what?
The sooner you can put something on.
Yeah,
you
know? I know the vibe I'm feeling. So let's throw this on and whatever it is. Like, God help you if you land on, you know, a shitty one. But like, otherwise.
Like Eternals or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But we also live in the world where you can just, you know, exit. Wait, you said Eternals? Oh. anyway, but yeah. You know, would I use it? Like, I don't know. I might still be too picky. I'm like past that point now. You know what I mean?
But I feel what Luis was trying to get at earlier is like, sometimes you're just trying to sit down and eat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And there's like 73 things in front of me and I got to like scroll. And then there's another person plus a kid in my household that are like, well, I don't want to watch that. And it's like,
yes,
if I could just be like, this is what we're doing. Boom. Throw it on.
One cool thing would be like if, say, Peacock did like a their weekend run of shows, like Friday night or Monday night kind of sitcoms like run, where they just have the newly released sitcoms roll back to back.
Yeah,
like
that's a cool idea. Yeah,
me and Sam do Animation Domination on Hulu. which we just like every Monday night we're watching, you know, Family Guy, The Simpsons, The Great North, Bob's the Burgers.
You guys are literally experiencing like TGI Fridays in 2024. You know what I mean? Like, do you remember that when ABC did that?
Yeah.
When stations would do that, you know what I mean? Yeah. They'd be like, and this Thursday on Fox, you're going to catch like a block of television.
It's Saturday morning cartoons, TGIF, Animation Domination Sunday. You know what I mean? They used to have that NBC Wednesday, Comedy Wednesdays with like The Office and Parks and all these other things. Yeah.
So really what's happening, right? This, I'm not the first person to say this ever.
Guys, are we going back to cable?
Cable's coming back, you guys. And the new kids are coming up and they're going to be like, wow, this is great. And we'll be like, here we are for the next 70 years. Thanks. Let's go.
I was listening to a podcast about this guy was talking about how he joined this new streaming service and he got, usually most of his streaming service is ad free, like me. You know, I don't pay for ads.
I'm going to talk about that later.
I mean, you know what I mean? And so he was watching something and it had ads for the first time. And his son's like, Dad, I like ads. They tell me what to get. And he's never experienced ads before.
No.
And when he saw them pop up, he was enjoying them as their own type of media and content.
I don't like
and
that.
And so that is a thing that is also happening. Miguel, what were you going to say?
No, I don't want my kid to ever be like, I fucking love commercials. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he'll be like, I would love like a 6-day work week. You know what I mean? Like we fought against this fascism. Okay. We don't need like to bring
they
it
want,
back.
They want to be told what to do.
No, it's what
to do. I'm fumbling
it's here. A vibe. It's a vibe tonight, dude. It's a Toyota vibe. But you know what?
Like everything like social media has become its own like commercial. Everybody's advertising something.
Oh, they're used to it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just like it's what they're building themselves. It's like the
if you used to ad out, you used to be a sellout, you know, but now if you get ads, you're like, oh, good job. We're proud of you, you know?
Yeah. Fight the system.
I was gonna bring this up later, but since you did it now, I'm watching something currently on Amazon Prime. And Prime Video has gone like an ad tier, you know what I mean, recently. And I don't know if you guys, Luis, you might remember this. I was watching Mad Men like a year ago, and I was telling you guys that I was watching Mad Men with ads on Freevee, and it felt natural. And you were really kind of beat me up about that. but the show that I'm watching now, and I'll talk about it later, I was telling Kristen, like, it just kind of feels natural that there's ads. And also, the big thing is, I feel like I have like 6 or 7 streaming services ad free and I already pay an annual fee to Jeff Bezos, Jeffy B. You know what I mean? Like I don't watch enough Amazon shows to be like, I need this to be ad free. You know what I mean? Like I'll take an ad every now and then. So I hear your stance, Luis. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I don't want to do ads.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, in a time and a place, sometimes they merit. You know what I mean?
I think with live, for some reason, if it's live TV, then it's I have to give it a pass, I guess, you know,
because you've been taught that.
Yeah. But if it's on a streaming service, and I'm selecting that entertainment.
Yeah.
I feel it like I'm popping in a DVD or I'm popping something in.
I'm already invested.
No, it was a little jarring because the show I picked, it was like free with Prime and you click Prime and then all of a sudden there's an ad playing. And normally they would tell you like, oh, with Freevee or something you can watch. And then you understand going in. But I was kind of like, whoa, there's an ad.
Yeah.
But you want to know something also? I did immediately look for the ad-free option. I was like, wait a second. Hang on. Can I get it? How much?
You just want to know the options there. And, you know,
I want to know what's available. Nice, if I start watching Prime, then I'll get in.
It's like, is this my cheapest option? What are the differences? Yada, yada. Yeah. You know.
This is definitely a move for all these streaming services to get more ad money.
Yeah.
You know, having specific channels would give more advertisements for people to give money to these streaming services.
Today, it's a minute-long ad twice during your, you know, hour-long video, and it's acceptable. But what's tomorrow? You know what I mean? Like, tomorrow, it's a 3-minute ad.
Yeah.
Twice during your movie or whatever. And it's like, okay, that's how they get us. I'm going to step down off my soapbox.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I like the channels because, I mean, I have a Hulu live TV option. So at any moment, I can just tune into live TV. I do like the channel specific things just because I'll flip through stuff. It's like, I didn't really want to watch that. I don't want to invest myself into an event. And then when I'm flipping through something and something is already midway through, halfway, like already on, like, you know what? I did like that. I'm fine with this ride. And I also don't feel so invested because I'm just kind of caught like right in the middle of it.
I was going to say catching the wave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, catching
like,
the wave.
Like, okay, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
My father-in-law, shout out Chuck, who, by the way, my son the other day asked me, why is it... My son the other day goes, why isn't Pappy on the podcast? And I was like, he wouldn't. But Chuck loves to like hop on TNT. Like one of his favorite movies for a while was Ghost Rider, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Whoa, I've never seen that movie.
Yo, hop on TNT on a Thursday night at, you know, 11 p.m. and they'll be playing it. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that was kind of the vibe. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you just want to catch these things. Oh, I missed the first 20 minutes, but whatever, I'm hooked, you know?
There are those movies where you've only seen like the chunks? Last. Yeah, chunks.
Yeah.
And then when you finally sit down and watch it, you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize it started out that way.
That's the story.
Yeah. Yeah, so new Disney Plus channels. Speaking of new, there's also going to be a new Marty film. Who's Marty? Martin Scorsese, you idiot.
I wouldn't
even say the movie it. Is going to be Frank Sinatra with Leonardo DiCaprio playing a 35-year-old and Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay, sorry, Ed, if you want to go first, I don't want to steamroll, but I have a couple thoughts about this, okay?
Okay.
First off, Killers of the Flower Moon, Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to be playing like a early 30s something, you know what I mean? And I remember that was one of the comments that we talked about in my house was like, he just kind of felt a little older than that age range, you know what I mean? But I saw something the other day that was talking about how he doesn't quite look like Frank Sinatra, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And how that could maybe impact the movie like positively. Like it's now become like an acting not exercise, that seems degrading, but you know, like when a movie does like a biopic or whatever,
and you like Bradley Cooper, what he did with his movie.
I can't talk about that one, but like think about like movies where they get someone that looks just like the celebrity, and it's like more about looking like the celebrity than it is like let me craft a performance, you know what I mean? Right. It's like how can I, you know, emulate this person as opposed to like actually becoming them.
Oh, so like Joaquin Phoenix and Napoleon.
Yeah, 100%. You guys, the way he, you know what I mean? Ridley Scott.
The way he's like, I'm 20 years old. I'm going to get that girl and act this way. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Like, maybe this will be like, okay, he's like embodying a character rather than just like he looks like the guy and that's all we're going for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They've currently got a movie coming out right now about Amy Winehouse where, you know,
right?
I feel like it's the same kind of approach. You're more worried. And you guys might disagree. Like, for instance, like everybody said Austin Butler didn't look like Elvis.
But that
when that movie came. But he gave such a good performance as Elvis. You believe in at least the persona that he was
bringing. I just watched the OJ American Crime Story, OJ Simpson trial or whatever. And Cuba Gooding Jr., I think I said this last week, he doesn't look anything like O.J. Simpson, but he embodies that character. You know what I mean? Like, you feel the vibe of that character, that Toyota vibe.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't think the actor has to look 100. Same thing with, like, when everyone cries on the internet about comic book accuracy in movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either the scene or the suit has to be comic book accurate. Uh-huh. And I've never felt that. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Love the X-Men, the costumes in the first X-Men movie.
You know what? If you want to fight about that, Luis, like, we can do it. All right. I'm not sitting here. That was a different time, okay?
Yeah,
but
I know.
In cool general,
time, man,
it was.
In general, I think we get like kind of like hamstringed into these, like, you know what I mean? We paint ourselves into these corners. If what I'm trying to say is like it has to be this exact type thing. Right. Yeah. And if you're a little flexible and you go, it doesn't have to look exactly like the person or the scene or the suit or whatever. There's freedom to play around.
Yeah, you know? It's the problem with fan casting these days. Everybody has their own perfect this character.
That's so true.
You know,
it's so true.
And God, how many fucking loops did the news go through about like the Fantastic Forecast and stuff like that?
Yeah,
it's just like yeah, I don't know.
My question is you were talking about how Leo didn't fit in Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, oh, he just looks a little old for playing this 30-year-old. Craig Sinatra in this movie is going to play that same age range. Like, that's what this period circles around. Yeah. So now knowing that, is that comment going to carry on?
That's what I was trying to say earlier. It's kind of like it's a twofold thing. You know what I mean?
Well, one thing we could all agree on is that old movie stars looked hella old at a young age.
Did you see
You're not wrong.
What's it called? In the guy in, oh my God, I'm going to sound so stupid.
Whatever example you're trying to think of, Luis, I've seen it four or five different times. You
with
know what
Timothée
I mean?
Like, Chalamet, he's like this 29-year-old, and George Costanza went on the first episode of Seinfeld was 29 years old.
Anytime they compare an actor to like what his age was then to what we like see it as now, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, we were. No wonder, like in my head, I'm like, adults used to look so much older. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's that constant cycle. But like Humphrey Bogart was 43 when he did Casablanca.
Yeah, and you have to be 43. Like,
he's younger than Leo is now.
I'm just saying, if you're going to be 43 years old, then your name should be Humphrey, you know?
I'm considering
that's a great
it for my
ceremony when I turn 43. I'm gonna be Humphrey Gonzalez
for Gonzalez. For a year. That's a hard ass name, dude.
Yeah. Damn.
What's up, huh?
Any lawyers Humphrey out there Ball? That can help me change my name? Hit me up at Punch Drunk Nerd. We will change my name to Humphrey. This isn't the only movie that's like rumored that he's working on, right?
That's why I was like questioning, like when they announced this, I was like, the man has like three other projects, and you know, God bless him, but like he's getting on in years. Let's like just wait for the first one to come out. But yeah, they've since announced, like since Killers of the Flower Moon, they also announced Leo and Martin Scorsese were going to do The Wager, which is based on a novel, and then. He's working on another Jesus film, which I don't know where they're at with that, but that was like the big talking point maybe like a month or two ago, honestly. So we'll see what actually ends up being made, but
curious. I don't know why there are three rumored movies coming out. I agree with you. It's very strange that I feel like maybe he's playing with the idea and he hasn't landed and he's just trying to workshop
what he can made. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he's seeing what studios want to pick up and whatnot. But, you know, with a biopic with Martin Scorsese, it's not going to be just like a regular biopic. Like, obviously, Frank Sinatra had like big like mafia ties and a lot of big events outside of the movies and his singing career. So it could be really interesting and go to some really cool places. And you know, like Martin Scorsese can rock a fucking Sinatra track on film. So
can I ask without you guys Googling real quick? Maybe you know it off the top of your head.
Okay.
Ed Luis, do you guys know how old Martin Scorsese is?
84.
Ed.
81.
Luis.
Humphrey, yeah.
Humphrey. Humphrey Scorsese is 81 years old. The only reason I ask is because I was going to kind of prompt this question. You guys know Clint Eastwood. He's making his last movie.
I was thinking of Clint Eastwood. I was like, are you going to say Clint Eastwood?
Yeah. You knew it. Because y'all saw that. Did y'all see that photo recently of Clint Eastwood? And you can't, I mean, people age. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, how old do you think he is if you had to guess?
91. I already looked it up. He's 93.
Fuck. Oh,
I didn't ask you to look things up. Ed. Obviously, I'm doing a bit, and this is just yet another way that this is bit erasure. Okay, he is 93 years old. Ed, okay, good job. Okay,
sorry.
So Marty's got 10 more years Okay. I'm surprised that you're talking about all these projects he's doing, and it's like, you know, could you imagine being 81 years old and being like, I still got life in me. I'm still going to do this. Okay.
It's like Ridley Scott. He's going out there. He just finished Gladiator 2, and he's working on another movie.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up, Ed.
I'm not looking at my hands.
Hands up.
Tell me, how old do you think Ridley Scott
is? I think Ridley Scott is 86 years old.
87.
Ed, he's 86 years old. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
You took it.
Because every time he says something stupid, whatever, I'm just like, yeah, here he is.
Be like, somebody get this man his prune juice. All right. Tell him to sit down.
Michael Mann. Michael Mann.
Ooh, Michael Mann, he...
77.
Don't tell me. Don't look it up.
Oh, I'm just guessing.
I don't know why he hasn't predicted.
I'm going to say 70. I want to say 72 or 73. I think Michael Mann, the same age as my dad.
77.
77, Luis, yeah. Ed?
I'll say 73.
Michael Mann, the director, the financier, is 81 years old.
Okay.
Is he the guy that did Collateral?
Yeah, Collateral. Yeah. Most recently, a Ferrari.
Yeah, he did Ferrari.
Oof. Yeah. No wonder he saw Jared Leto and he was like, you're doing great. You know,
what?
Jared Leto's in Ferrari?
No.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking. Damn. I'm thinking of House of Gucci, which was Ridley Scott. Was that Ridley Scott?
That was Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, the punchline still lands. Okay. All right, that was fun. I don't mean. There you go. Marty's got time.
I low key didn't mind. His performance in House of Gucci. I had a good time.
I listen, I'm just regurgitating internet talking points. Okay. Like, I didn't see that movie. I bring it up because when I see clips, I legitimately, who the fuck is that actor? He's acting. You know what I mean?
I IMDb'd him. I was like, who is Paolo? And then I looked it up and I was like, holy shit. I got.
Most of the time, you want to not like Jared Leto, but it's like, okay, he's doing his best Mario right now. Mario and Luigi. Yeah. Like, let him go. Okay.
It got me to Google him. I was like, who is this guy? This guy's going to be something. Hang on a second.
That's what I said. All right, guys. How old is Jared?
Oh, no.
46. This one I don't know. 46.
Okay. Ed, go ahead.
44.
Guys, y'all are so bad at this game. He's 52 years old.
What? Okay, well, did he drink?
Starring in the next Tron movie.
Oh, my God. He drank from, like, the fucking Fountain of Youth.
The vampire bat, yeah.
He is a vampire. Yeah.
Morbius. Exactly.
Got it. All right.
Wow. See, this is what you guys subscribe to Punch Drunk Nerd for, is tangents, okay? Rambles, a little bit of hoot nanny, okay? Yeah. Like, we're having a good time. Be sure to
to find out everybody's ages.
You didn't know that. Or maybe you were shouting at your car radio as you were listening to us. So, anyway. I just feel like we get into a trap with these, like, rants. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I thought that was good, though.
And,
I think somebody else is caught in a trap this week. M. Night Shyamalan has set a trap for his new movie starring Josh Hartnett.
I just want to say this is the only fucking time Ed has ever yes-handed me, okay? So,
and here you are ruining it.
No, I have to call it out. If I don't do it, then I won't sleep well tonight.
Ed, what is Trap about?
Trap,
the movie that is being released August 9th. What is that movie about?
Trap is the latest movie from mastermind M. Night Shyamalan, or however you want to look
at him. Don't degrade him, okay? Do not act like...
Yes, so this follows Josh Hartnett, who is going to a concert with his daughter, some fictional... pop star, and he goes to the restroom and he sees that security is getting real tight around the stadium, and so he asks, and it turns out that the police are setting a trap for a local serial killer known as the Butcher. And little did we know during the extent of this trailer that Josh Hartnett was in fact the serial killer.
And that is not giving away the twist. If you watch this trailer at all, that is trailer of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was having a conversation with Kristen, and it was like, she was like, they just gave away the twist. Like, it's M. Night Shyamalan. You know, there's going to be a twist. They just gave it away. Yeah. And I was kind of arguing that maybe the twist is yet to be seen. You know what I mean?
It definitely is.
Right?
Like, we haven't even gotten to the serial killer. Yeah.
But I don't think it's just the daughter's the serial killer. You know what I mean?
I'm not serious, Miguel. It was a joke.
There's another... There's a... No, we don't call out bits, okay? I don't know. I it feels like very surface level. And if it's a M. Night Shyamalan story, then there's got to be something else that
we wouldn't put it out there unless there was something else.
The thing we should be talking about is the fact that Josh Hartnett is having like kind of his own reconnaissance right now. Okay. Preach, brother.
All right.
Yeah. We saw him in Oppenheimer. I want to say there was something before Oppenheimer smaller that people were kind of talking about, but like we are seeing Josh Hartnett come back and we're seeing him in a different light in the same way of Matthew McConaughey. You know what I mean? Do you guys remember Failure to Launch? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we were trying to pretend that Matthew McConaughey couldn't move out of his parents' house because he was lazy and unappealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Josh Hartnett, same thing. He was like cast as this like rom-com boy. But now we're seeing something a little bit different. So
he's a killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's killing it. I tell you what.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
Subscribe to Punch Drunk Nerd for good content like that.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan coming out August 9th.
Do you guys know who else is killing it?
What?
Or killing them?
Who?
Who?
Is a hitman.
And not just any hitman.
Mr. Fucking blanking on Mr. Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
Of Top Gun fame, soon to be Twisters fame.
He was also in Dark Knight Rises, the best movie since Dark Knight.
He was also in Anything But You.
Anything But You.
With two T's.
He's having his own moment in the sun. And he's got two more movies coming out later this year. And this one. From Richard Linklater.
You're a big fan.
Linklater. Yeah. yes, and.
Some of your favorite movies, Ed. Go ahead.
You know, I do genuinely like Bernie. Starring Jack Black. Jack Black?
Bernie?
Jack Black? Yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen that movie
in forever. The other one's like Before Sunset or Sunrise, whichever the first one was. I just find him a little
I appreciated your thoughts on Boyhood and about how you related to like the trajectory of like a boy's life and into adulthood.
Yeah.
And how like every actor in that movie was kind of like perfectly cast. talk more about that, Ed.
Yes, I did like that movie so much. Should have won the Oscar. Should have won the Oscar.
Man, that's big.
This movie follows Glenn Powell as he is not really a hitman, but he pretends to be a hitman. He puts on different disguises. Basically, people hire him as a hitman, and he has his tagline where he's like, everybody envisions a hitman in their own way. And then you start seeing him putting on different disguises. You know, one hitman's like tough. One hitman's a trucker. This hitman that we're going to see throughout the movie is just Glenn Powell. So no disguises, nothing that the movie promises. It's just him being sexy as hell with another sexy person. But it looks funny. I mean, it's popping up on Netflix. It seems like a good Netflix movie.
Yeah.
You know, pop up that popcorn. Get next to a loved one and just watch a fun comedy action, maybe a romance movie. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like femme fatale kind of fun. But no, it did genuinely look funny. The different disguises that we see him run through throughout the trailer look fun. He seems to have
some, like he looks like
he's got good comedic chops. Yeah. So
yeah.
No, it could be fun.
He plays off those other characters really well.
Yeah, totally. And he's just so darn good looking. Darn good looking.
He's dashing.
Dashing. Yeah. Miguel, thoughts?
Yeah, Miguel.
Glenn Powell. We said it a couple weeks ago when we talked about the Twisters trailer. That was a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
this guy's ready for a blow up. You know what I mean? Like he's been around for a minute. He's clearly like got the sauce, and I'm happy he's getting his due.
Yeah. I was thinking there's been this almost resurgence of like this new blockbuster celebrity talent that's pulling things. You know, obviously Glenn Powell is rising up. Timothée Chalamet is like popping off, you know, and Zendaya is coming out with Challengers, which she's leading that movie. That is a Zendaya movie. And I think a lot like these past couple, like this decade, it's all been very IP driven. And now it seems like
the audience is craving something.
If we are able to lock into these big blockbuster, you know, performers, I think that's a gateway to get new original content, because then you can come up with new crazy concepts and say, well, it doesn't matter because we got Glenn Powell in it, you know, like he'll, whatever. Kind of like Hitman.
If we're gonna cycle through this like cable television format again, like let's bring back movie stars too.
Movie you know stars, what I mean? Yeah.
Like let's go.
Yeah.
Bro, what happened? Looks like Ed just got scared on the podcast here.
I live here.
Hitman comes out on Netflix June 7th. Coming out the following month in July 26th is Deadpool and Wolverine. And please, this is the part of the podcast where I'm going to step away.
I was
going to
say, don't even intro this shit because we know you did right. not watch this trailer.
I'm going to step away and I'm just going to watch you guys. So here we go. Enjoy the conversation.
Ed didn't watch it either.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay. I'm avoiding spoilers for this one. This is the one where I'm just like trying not to watch it. Okay. So, like, all right. Right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Miguel, I'm here for the bit, but stop dragging this out.
No, that's my bit, is I refuse to stop dragging it out.
All right.
Did you watch this Deadpool trailer?
I did, and I just rewatched it before we started.
What do you think about it?
You know what? I enjoyed it more the second time.
Okay.
There's like little bits to it that I'm, but like you said initially to me when it first came out, it does seem, you know, kind of what you would expect.
Run of the mill, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Like with the fun, you know, of this like Deadpool quirks to it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're just quickly getting out the way the premise. Like,
the obvious.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we know what it's about it, now. So it, now, it like when the movie comes out.
Sorry, like first act, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Early movie.
Which I'm here for in a way, because the worst thing that I feel like they could do is give away what people are most the heart, but also the comedy. Like,
yeah.
If they give away all of their gags in the trailer,
then what are we doing? You know?
Exactly. It's going to feel already tired by the time we get to it. In hindsight, I do appreciate that they tried to balance it and just kind of again like give you the leg of the land, like this is kind of what we're doing with it, so you can just calm down. And then I mean, nothing like I'm super wild about particularly.
Something I've kind of mentioned a couple times is I have seen, and I'm sure the internet as well has seen, so much of the like behind the scenes filming of this movie, that the what they chose to show in the trailer felt very I've seen this, but I think ultimately that's going to be a good thing, right? Like they're hiding the best parts,
the good stuff.
You kind of hope going into it. One of the things I talked about just in our chat was just like, okay, it is very like we can say the F word now, and
sure,
I don't know, it feels a little juvenile. But you know, let's see, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
this is one of those movies as well where earlier, you know, a few minutes ago, I was talking about comic book accuracy, and people are kind of eating it up for this one because Wolverine's in the comic accurate or at least like a lore accurate suit, and things like that. And I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, let's please some people, but like, is this gonna be good?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, yes, definitely. I'm not like getting overhyped for this at all. You know, I thought Hugh Jackman's Wolverine wrapped up nicely. So is it necessary? Yeah. We'll see. But maybe in the best case scenario, it's like a nice palate cleanser for the Marvel universe,
the general MCU,
and the general superhero effect kind of thing. Yeah. Like, yeah. We don't have any other expectations this year. It is Deadpool, so they have the luxury of, you know, playing around with characters and stuff like that. I do feel like we might get some like really fun cameos in regards.
I was going to say, beyond the general vibe of the movie, like did we pick up on some Easter eggs in this trailer?
You want to just talk about a handful maybe? But like I do feel like we're probably going to see at least one other Wolverine. Ooh. At some point. That's just like a prediction. I guess I'll just say the biggest Easter egg. There seems to be this kind of like Mad Max world. This like,
which was a little unexpected.
Yeah, same. And one of the features in it appears to be a giant Ant-Man skull within its helmet, and it's being like opened up like a door or something, which I thought was pretty cool.
I loved that. It was a great way to be like, this is the MCU, but and in a way to show like this is more mature, like beyond just being like, we curse now, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Seeing, you know, they talked about, I don't know if you remember, one draft of Avengers Endgame, I want to say, had a scene where like Thanos shows up and he like throws Captain America's skull at the Avengers. Do you remember that?
I think so, yes.
And it got cut or whatever, you know what I mean? But this is kind of that same vibe, you know what I mean? Like whatever tier Avenger is dead, and we are going to comment on that in this universe. But in that same shot, there's also, when the skull opens, I don't know if you see, but like in the foreground of that shot, there's like a Lady Deathstrike.
Oh, yeah.
The red like Nightcrawler guy from X-Men First Class. Aziel or whatever his name is. We saw Pyro in the very first trailer from X-Men 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So I mean there's people coming in, and there's kind of some surprises as well. Like they jump through a Doctor Strange portal at one point. And so
I was
like,
ask about that. Like that,
Doctor Strange or Wong or someone who has like that portal ability is going to show up here.
Oof. Yeah. So a lot of possibilities. I'm glad you mentioned that Lady Deathstrike, since I was talking about that last week because of the animated show. Mm-hmm. I love that storyline and would love for them to pick that up in like in a live action film. Just like that story. I think that is a
fun.
And
if you think about Lady Deathstrike and X-Men 2, I think the actress was Kelly Hu. She was in that movie a lot, but she only had like one or two lines of dialogue. You know what I mean? And so it's like, bring her back, like give her a chance to shine.
Yeah, 100%.
And make that, because people really resonated with that character.
Yeah.
And even though she was only in it for a short amount of time. So, you know, bring her back. Let's see what happens.
It would be a fun adversary for sure. Anything else you want to talk about this trailer?
No, listen, you guys have already seen the trailer. You've had your own thoughts. Luis is not going to watch this trailer. I probably will not watch another trailer, and I'm going to see this movie for this. I don't want to say that I'm like super excited.
Yeah.
But
it might be worth
kind of hoping.
Out.
Yeah. I'm hoping to be kind of pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I feel like, and again, best case scenario, it's fun, it's funny, but not taking it too seriously, you know.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Just it's worth the lols, hopefully. But that comes out July 26th in theaters.
One last thing is the way that I felt like Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange movie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping that would bring in something fun and cool
and
different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried that like I'm wanting something like that for this movie.
Yeah.
And maybe we're just going to kind of regurgitate like a Marvel milestone. You know what sure, I mean?
Like, totally. No, 100%. It is a very fine line that we seem to be walking now, and hopefully, I don't know, if...
Like, you can't just bring people back. Like, there has to be purpose. There has to be something at stake, you know?
Yeah, so, 100%. Hey, we might get our first X-Men sighting kind of thing, you know, like...
And we've kind of been saying that, though. You know what I mean?
No, like, for sure. And this is like, if anything, kind of like, I feel like what they were doing with Doctor Strange is that they're like dipping their toes into maybe some of these potential castings for a new X-Men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just be like, here's like such and such as Wolverine, here's Storm. What do you think? Kind of thing. And if they react negatively, so they'll just ditch the whole idea. It does sound lazy, or it could just like be super clever, like She-Hulk. Like, I don't know, I thought I enjoyed She-Hulk.
People did not like She-Hulk. I did
enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
People hated that show.
So if this movie ends up being controversial, then what happened, kind of thing.
Exactly. But,
Deadpool and Wolverine. Don't know what all to right, expect.
Let's make our X's right now. King. All right, Luis, come on back. Make this X all together. There we go.
So that was Deadpool Wolverine by Marvel Studios, coming out July 26th this summer. my number one movie that I'm anticipated for. Speaking of summer movies, I remember it's on number one on my list. We had that episode where we did.
You're right. You're 100% right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought for a second you were talking about your blockbuster thing.
No,
I just couldn't believe that Beast died in that trailer. You know what I mean? That was pretty wild.
Now, if
was it performed by Kelsey Grammer though?
But they had three different Beasts actually. Oh, okay. So.
Yeah. Well, then Nicole. that one he can go. I like Nicole, but I just didn't like the Beast. Beast. Deadpool Wolverine is gonna be a big blockbuster hit. Just a preview of what's gonna happen next week. We're about to jump into our feature discussion, Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel. But next week we're gonna do our summer movie wager, where we're basically gonna try to guess which movie is gonna make the most money this summer.
I'm so nervous.
Ed won the first year, Miguel won the second year, and now it's a tremendous Luis's amount of pressure is put upon me to win this year.
Don't worry.
Also, if there is a movie that appears in the top 10 that we didn't pick, that counts as something being part of the top 10. I just want to say that as a rule. That
new rule this year.
Yeah, we're implementing that new rule. Okay. Tune in next week. We're going to go one by one and decide which movie we think will be number one, number two, number three, all the way to 10. And then at the end of the year, whoever wins will make us watch or do something.
Yes.
That's it, right? That's Summer Movie Wager. I took it from another podcast, the Filmcast podcast. But whatever.
But we do it now too. So
we do it too.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys? Anything that I missed about the Summer Movie Wager? Let's monkey around with Monkey Man. Monkey Man, according to the internet, is about an anonymous young man unleashing a campaign of vengeance against the corporate leaders who murdered his mother and continues to systematically victimize the poor and the powerless. This movie, again, is directed by Dev Patel in his first movie. I think first initial reactions, let's try to not be too spoilery. And then after that, we'll go into some spoilies. We're going to go add Miguel myself.
So I guess I'm the only one who saw it in theaters, huh? Yeah.
No, we all did.
Sure. We all did, Ed.
Yeah.
Why'd you stick your tongue out like that?
Because I'm Henry Cavill. overall, I thought it was just fine. I think it was a solid first effort from Dev Patel. In this kind of era of these like hard nut nobodies who beat the shit out of a lot of people, you know, this has like a unique perspective. It has some cool, interesting developments throughout it. I just feel like nothing, it didn't have like much of a wow factor. It didn't, in an era where we have movies like Nobody, John Wick, you know, even Atomic Blonde, all these, even, you know, like Mission Impossible now, where the action is just like on point and has to be. And we just did, you know, Roadhouse, and that was also kind of like a stylized fighting Bullet Train last year. You know, it just felt like a little, you know, just done. Like a little bit of the same. Yeah, a little bit done. There were some, I thought, a lot of cool setups, which we can get into more, obviously, but I just felt like it didn't reach its full potential every time it tried to try something new, you know? Mm-hmm. Overall, like I said, it is a well-done movie, I think. Dev Patel shows potential, you know? Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what he does. It's a very, like, visually striking film, too. And he clearly had, like, a plan and a vision. So, yeah, I think as far as that goes, you know, it was just fine. It was, like, a easy watch. You know, it takes itself a little too seriously at times, but overall, it was just fine.
So you bring up John Wick. It was a very John Wick movie. But they also comment on John Wick, early in the film. And I found myself kind of, I'm not the biggest John Wick fan, you know what I mean? And I was just kind of like, oh, we're doing that, you know? So I don't think this movie was 100% for me. I did love the story of the movie, you know what I mean? Like, Dev Patel, first-time filmmaker, he's commented on the fact that he had to kind of like jump through hoops to get this film made.
Yeah.
Netflix was going to shelve it, and Jordan Peele was like, no, I'll buy it. You know, I think there's a lot of a story here, you know, as far as like the process of making this film. And I'm very interested in seeing Dev Patel make more movies. You know what I mean? We talked about Robert Eggers. I sent that text tweet earlier this week that was like, he feels whatever about The Witch, because he was like, that was like early on in my filmmaking career, and I learned how to make movies after that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want for Dev Patel. Like, he's got a pulse for this or whatever. He you know, he can do this. I just maybe want to see something different. And that's there you go.
My reaction is afterwards. So I had a great time with this. As you guys know, I like the John Wick movies. I like these kind of fight, you know, choreograph movies, especially sometimes when we get action scenes where there's a lot of like quick cuts and you can't really interpret what's happening. My first thing is like, Dev Patel is just, he's gripping when you see him on, you know, on the fucking screen, on the monitor. But it's also crazy because I forget halfway through, it's like, holy shit, this guy is like in 90% of this movie, more. Yeah. And he's also fucking directing this movie.
Yeah.
And I just kept taken aback by the fact that, like, you know, it's his first movie. And I've seen other directors do first movies. And as far as like doing a first movie, this is done really well in that sense. You could see that he is so inspired, like Quentin Tarantino is with his movies. You know what I mean? Like, that man loves those specific genre movies. And this guy, we got John Wick, we got Danny Boyle, we got like The Raid.
Yeah.
You know, we got all of these, like, you could see what he likes, and he's definitely has some direction into it, but it is a first time person. But I think he's throwing out ideas that maybe like it doesn't coalesce at the end, like, you know, but it's still, I still had moments where I'm just like at the edge of my seat, you know, and it is a mixed bag, but I think Dev's performance and some of those action moments that pop out kind of pull you back in. And again, it's like, it's not perfect, but for me, it was fun. And we can get more into the details a little bit later, but
let's get into them now. All right,
spoilers now. Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought like everything to do with it. Oh, go ahead.
Hello, brother.
Hello. I actually had one question because this, I feel like this is a good talking point, is I want to talk about tone.
Sure.
This movie has enters into three almost distinct almost movies.
Sure.
The very first half is this grounded John Wick, like grungy city, like vibe, you know what I mean? And then it goes into this thing where it becomes very introspective and it's like a whole other like spiritualized movie. And then by the end, he almost becomes like a superhero. And it's like not as the vibes of what it was in the beginning of the first act. There are tonal shifts that happen. Now, for me, I enjoy when a movie changes tone sometimes. Like I like
it can be
that.
Done very well.
It can be done very well. And I'm okay with a little whiplash. Like I consume a lot of movies and TV. I'm fine with someone to take that chance. But I am curious to hear your opinion, Ed. I'm Miguel. I know you only saw
well,
the whole thing, right?
The whole
I just wanted to hear your opinion on the tonal shifts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I felt like one of my biggest issues, I feel like, is that the movie, and maybe, you know, this is maybe how they were selling it as that, and maybe that's the issue, is like, if you go into this thinking it is a John Wick film, it isn't quite a John Wick film. It's kind of not giving enough credit to Dev Patel, what he does with it, because he's taking it to telling the story in India and intertwining it with that culture. And again, it's just like its own thing. There aren't a lot of guns even. But I felt like the move in the first act, like you were saying, Luis, it kind of builds up as this kind of gritty, like revenge plot. Mm-hmm. And when it gets there, we have that first action thing and then it pulls back again. And then it's like a whole nearly like another hour, it feels like, before it gets back into the action. And I feel like the movie loses a lot of its momentum then. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for, obviously, they're building and like indicating that, you know, there's a past and stuff like that. And it's a trope that's tried and true. You have to have the murdered whatever to go and murder all of these people or whatever. And I think he does some interesting things with it and some actually very powerful imagery comes from it. But it for me, I felt like, oh, this is like such a massive step back when the story just felt like it was propelling forward. Mm-hmm. So for me, it kind of just, again, affected the pacing that I felt with it, maybe. And again, I don't think the tones were so distinct. It just felt, again, more like a tempo, if anything. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, you feel like that octane coming. And again, it's maybe that expectation of a John Wick film. And maybe people need to level that kind of expectation. Yeah. I'm not saying this isn't like entertaining, because I really thought it was. I thought there was a lot of fun in it and some good sequences. Sorry, I'm rambling, but to say is that I felt it suffered a little bit in the second to third act, and maybe a little bit too long, 30 minutes long. 30 minutes too harsh, maybe.
I kind of agree with some of the things you're saying. Like, I saw the trailer, and I'm a proponent of, if you see the trailer and you like the trailer, like, watch this movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like some, and maybe this was just me, but like some of the expectations of the story were not quite met in what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Tonally as well. Like, I just was like, are we doing a boxing ring fighting movie? Are we doing a John Wick movie? Are we doing this like revenge? It just kind of shifted a lot. And
it's a lot of elements to the table that he was trying to coalesce together.
Yeah. And a part of me was like, I need to stick it out and see it through and see the whole vision. But I was just like kind of whiplashed through so much of it. you know, early on for me that I was like, I don't know. I need to kind of revisit it later.
I did like the overall arc of it, and like the journey that he does take ultimately works for the character.
Can I ask you, did you feel like, I'm so glad I saw this in theaters, or could you have watched it at home?
I did enjoy it in theaters, because again, it was visually very cool. Like there are a lot of moments in my mind that were, I was just like, that's cool. That's a beautiful shot. And like I said, it was mostly like the follow through with some of the action that didn't resonate with me. Just like as hard hitting action, because a lot of it, and I feel like this is one of my issues with John Wick, is like after a while, some of the fighting, because it is so continuous, it feels choreographed.
There was one shot. I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk over you, but there was one shot where he like takes the toilet seat or something, and he like puts it to a guy's neck and he punches the whatever. And it's like, I've seen that in so many choreographed fights. Mm-hmm. And then what's something I was kind of talking about earlier with my wife was just like, I don't know if I resonate with these kind of like choreographed movies. Like it just feels like a little too much. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel
organic. I feel like with John Wick, it works. I think John Wick, for me and for John Wick, it works because like that is what he is trained to do. Like he is known to know to be the most efficient way of killing, where like maybe these other people aren't, you know, like they are imitating him and emulating him, you know? And so maybe it seems off that way,
but
I can go on and on about why, anyway, go ahead.
I'm sorry. If you think about the trailer though, like talking about expectations was, okay, he's wearing the Monkey Man mask. He's in this fight. He's like, oh, okay, he can hold himself in a ring. Mm-hmm. And then like he gets into the real world and he kind of gets his ass beat a little bit, which is like maybe like character progression or whatever. But it was just like, I kind of came into this expecting you to know what to do. Maybe not like logically planned out, but like, you know, just reactionally, like I know what to do in this moment. And I was just never quite sure that, like, at one point there's this whole operation where they steal the wallet from the lady, and it's like he's, and I haven't seen the whole movie, okay, so this is my bad, but like he, you know, they steal the wallet, and it's like it seems like he choreographed all that, so it feels like he's manipulating this whole scene. Mm-hmm. But then he gets into it and he kind of fucks up a lot, and it's like I don't know, and like I said, I haven't finished it, but
yeah, I mean, they speak like, to it a little bit about like how he isn't, he's just kind of this force who's getting beaten down and he needs to, you know,
and he gets back up,
get in tune. And there is this whole new theme that they introduce where they go when they get saved by kind of this trans community, and they introduce this like masculine and feminine part. And it's like, you need to find a way to combine them. The masculine destroys and the female creates. And so you need to, you have to destroy a part of yourself to create something new. And they have this really cool part where this guy has these like drum set up where it's like one's pitched higher and one's pitched lower. And he tells a story like between a male and a female as he bangs the drum. And then they use that as a way to kind of like retrain him and be like, hey man, you need to bring both to focus. Yeah.
It's like,
that's insane.
It's like its own training montage.
Yeah.
This bit was really cool. It was actually one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. I'm glad you mentioned it, but yeah, it's like this build-up. He's punching like a rice bag, and it's that montage of building up that kind of that rhythm to, and it's like they're both like dripping with sweat, the drummer and Dev Patel. It's very cool. Movie has so much like that are just like little promises that, you know, little inklings that show. Like Dev Patel is a very, like, again, a visual director. Like he had a vision for this movie, and I did enjoy that.
You know what I mean?
I think maybe it just like maybe the beginning was too long, or it just needed a little bit more balance. But those sections I did really like. Miguel, you were talking about the whole Monkey Man persona. And I guess the Monkey Man, you're making me think about it now, Luis, is that he's shedding the Monkey Man, right? Or yeah. is he becoming the Monkey
well,
Man?
I mean, that's, he's becoming, I don't know, this, there's that shot where he douses that mask into the water.
In the bleach, right?
Yeah. And then it comes out in the white Monkey Man yeah. mask.
You guys.
But hang on though, he no. and this is a maybe a little bit of a spoiler, but like he goes into the final battle yeah. wearing that mask. But before
which he should have wore a lot more often, I'll say. That's the only thing.
Okay, that's you. What I was thank gonna you. Say. That's what thank I was you. Gonna say is the, I felt like I wanted that and I yeah. wasn't seeing it enough.
Yeah.
You know?
That was like the one little thing. I was like,
he before he even lands the first
I wanted
punch,
him to be that superhero.
He takes it off. Sorry. Before he even fights, he takes off the mask. And I was like, wait, what are you doing with that? You just had a scene with it. Yeah. And you're just throwing it away before you even entered the building. Like yeah. at least like scare some people. It's like, what the hell is that? It's a monkey. And then he gets his ass beat and then yeah. like reveal. But yeah, that was a little disappointing. And I don't, maybe it was just annoying to fight with, but I did want more of the monkey mask. But anyway,
that was something I mean, to talk about the trailer again, like that's what I kind of wanted from this movie. And I, you know, a superhero in like a street level superhero, you know what I mean? When mm-hmm. they talk about like Daredevil and things like that, right, you know right, what I mean? Right. And in this setting, you know what I mean? In an unconventional, you know what I mean? Setting, you know, let's see him become this persona. I didn't watch the whole movie. Okay. So I'm not, I feel bad talking about it. Like
Miguel,
I need to give it a go, but
do you remember where you fell off?
It was kind of, oh, it was so right as like, I don't know if it was the whole movie, but like kind of in the middle of the movie, there's like this whole action sequence where he's being chased. They get yes. in the, yeah. they get in the Nicki Minaj, and they, yeah. they drive it. And that was kind of a cool moment. I really kind of, I was digging it. It was just like, I don't know if I could do a whole nother hour of this.
Honestly, at that moment is when the tone, like that's the first. Okay. There's three parts,
and that's fair. That's
and
fair.
Then after you that, know, talking, you're like, "Whoa, this is the movie," and that's when he gets saved by this trans community, and then he goes through this whole other, you know.
Two quick points. Okay, so they talk about the trans community very early in the movie, and I thought that was like, "Oh, that's kind of wild that they just randomly mentioned mm-hmm. that." And hearing you guys talk about it, I'm like, "Okay, I definitely want to stick in with it and see," because I was not expecting that to be. A more prevalent
honestly moment. It'll be like episode two, and like I think that is like a break for you
okay.
to jump back
that,
in
that, that's good
then
to
you'll
know.
Be
that's
like
good
you'll
know.
Have a palate cleanse from yeah. what you've kind of experienced before.
Oh shit, I forgot my second point.
You stopped because you didn't want to keep watching or be bombarded by the action scenes.
I wasn't getting what I expected from the trailer. Oh, and right. I was just like just kind of a little bit like let me come back to this later. Yeah, no, I forgot my main point, but yeah,
can we
you
talk
guys,
about
thanks for having
thing.
Me on this podcast.
Can we talk about one thing though? When that fucking axe was swinging around mm-hmm. and catches the other guy's neck, I was just at the edge of my seat and giddy. Yeah. That got me like standing up from the couch. I don't know why. I had a good time with that. I wish
standing
I saw it in
up.
Theater. Yeah, I wish I went to the theater and saw it. You know, we have a big, nice, big TV, but I do wish I saw it in theater.
It was very cool. That one scene where they're fighting. Oh, and when
the elevator.
No, actually, it was like once they're in the area, like the bar area, and that elevator bit was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a bar scene, like where he gets up on top of the bar, and the background is almost like a sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
And just like that silhouette on that wall was very cool.
It's replicating that, like the monkey going for the
exactly.
The
yeah.
That's
like
the direction.
That.
Like also, there is clear direction that he's giving. You know?
Yeah, and that was like a cool little like air punch moment when the community he'd been staying with
mm-hmm.
they came and had his back, and they come in with those fucking like maces and shit like that,
and they're wearing like, these okay. like dresses, and it's just oh. like it's and swinging.
The masks, the monkey. Yeah,
And it's swinging with the fighting, and I think that's just like a visual I haven't really seen before. And so it was nice to kind of like, oh, let me introduce something new here, where it was like this beautiful but also like destructive. I mean, this movie is brutal. Like, we could talk about John Wick and all these other movies, but I think this is more brutal than other movies are, in the sense where like we're smashing heads, ripping off noses and throats. Like,
yeah, it's slicing. Definitely more like savage, like fighting, more again like hand combat, not gun. There is like a gun element to it, which I liked, but it's not overplayed. It doesn't get exhausting or anything. No, I mean, like I said, very promising stuff overall. I don't think it hit in all the places that maybe I wanted to, but those are like my own expectations. But, you know, Miguel, you asked me, you know, am I glad I saw it in theater? You know, after talking about it, yeah, I was, because there were like a lot of moments where I was just like, yeah, it was cool to see that. And you know what? It's movies like this, especially where you want to give movies like this a try. Like, it would be a shame for Dev Patel to like stop directing
Peter
because
out
of this. If anybody is paying attention, there's potential there, and you know, and I and the fact that he, you know, was leading and doing all the stunt choreography, you know, which I'm sure was like wrapped up into the budget,
and
like
in it, you know,
yeah,
and,
you know, so yeah, yeah, no, it was solid. It was a solid entertainment, you know.
Yeah. Miguel, you're gonna keep watching this movie.
Yes, I'm sorry, I was gonna say, I remember my thought from earlier, and normally I wouldn't go back, but you guys were talking about like tonal shifts, and while I didn't see the whole movie, I would like to finish it because I'm intrigued what you're saying. Do you guys remember that movie? Triangle of Sadness. That was like three very distinct tones that happened, and while you guys were talking, that was what I was kind of reminded of, was like, oh, okay, like, you know, there's a shift that happened. And so I kind of want to go back and revisit that because of that.
Great
Triangle point. Of Sadness.
No, sorry, Monkey Man, because I saw I saw all of Triangle of Sadness. But no, I just appreciated that idea of a shift of tone. Like, that could be very compelling. And it may be because I didn't necessarily, I don't know, buy into it immediately. Like, let me give it another go. All right. Monkey Man, you know?
It's coming to... It's in stream. You can stream it now, right? Digital like on demand.
Yeah, it's what they call PVOD, Premiere Video on Demand. So it's like, to get it, it's like $20 to rent.
It sounds very close to PEDO.
Who has
PVOD?
PVOD. PEDO. Stay away from him. That's a PVOD. If I ever saw one.
It should be streaming because it's a Universal movie, so it'll pop up on Peacock soon. But right now it's on PVOD. So yeah,
let's move on.
I had a great time, so let's talk about what we're into.
That was so assuring, Luis. Like, I'm having a good time.
Ed, you're watching a couple things here. Do you want to talk about Ed? Do you want to talk about
I can get through mine real quick. I don't have a lot to say about them. First off, Luis is continued on as the most incredible producer and just literally putting anything I request on Plex on Plex. So it's been the luxury. I told you guys I've been trying to watch more old movies, and I recently, you guys know, like, one of my favorite movies is Shane, right? By Jeff Stevens. Giant is another one of his movies that I've never seen before. Oh. It's set in Texas. It's got Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean. This was one of those movies where he was like, they released it after he died, and got nominated for an Oscar posthumously. This was an interesting one. It was like a 3-hour long epic. And when I say a Texas epic, it is literally that. It is set mostly in Texas. It's like a clash of like Elizabeth Taylor comes from like a wealthy family up north. And it's like that clash of cultures. Like Rock Hudson is like a ranch owner. He owns like 500 odd thousand acres in Texas. He's a cattleman. And, you know, he wants to raise his children a certain way and they don't take care of the Mexicans and stuff like that. And Elizabeth Taylor comes and shakes it all up. Meanwhile, James Dean is kind of like this, like, slick side character who kind of works for the landowner. And then he strikes oil on his little land. Mm-hmm. And it takes place over, like, a quarter century, like, it spans 25 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, following the like them growing a family and their kids growing up. Like, Dennis Hopper is one of the kids grown up. So that was interesting to see him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how old this movie is. Anyway, it was very good. It's very much of its time. But, like, George Stevens is, like, just kind of one of those directors who... like was a all-American director, but he wasn't afraid to be critical of American ideals and point out American hypocrisies and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like his movies still feel very like true American in a good way. Like this is what ideal American should be kind of thing. I don't know, but very kind of similar vibes to Shane, but nowhere near as good as Shane. Everybody should check out Shane. On TV, on the TV vibe, I've been talking to Miguel about this, but I've been getting going on Abbott Elementary finally. I'm still in season one, but I have grown very fond of all the characters, basically. And I realized that I'm basically the main character, Janine. I feel I was telling Miguel... that like there's a quote from an episode 11 where she's called a pizza queen by one of the guys, one of the teacher's boyfriends, and it's because she was eating his pizza crust at a restaurant, and the reason being is she doesn't like to waste food, which is definitely my, you know, my mentality towards food and especially pizza crust, amongst other things, especially pizza crust. I hate wasting pizza crust.
Like, don't waste that pizza crust.
Like pizza crust is there for a reason. Anyway, so I've been really enjoying that. I'm still only in season one, but I can see why everybody has been talking about it. I've also started watching, and this is more so out of curiosity, the new Hulu series. Under the Bridge. You guys know which one I'm talking about, starring
I'm Googling it right now.
Lily Gladstone.
Oh, that's the next one on our docket, dude. I'm ready to go.
Okay, yeah. So they've got 3 episodes out on Hulu now. The third one just came out today, I think. Wednesday, not Friday. So it's like a murder mystery. I think it's based on a true story. Luis, you pulled it up. I don't know if you can tell, but
Let's see. It's based upon the book of the same name.
Okay, because it's set during the 90s, inexplicably, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Please let me go next.
No, I'm done, but that's it. I've been watching that.
If we're talking about 90s true crime, okay. I just finished watching, I said it last week, I was watching the American Crime Story O.J. Simpson season.
Yes.
Yes. You guys, he just died. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I learned it from a meme.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That season, I finished it this week, is top tier, like Ryan Murphy, true crime. It's a bundle of a lot of genres. You know what I mean? I'm having a great time. I kind of mentioned it a couple times during this episode, but like Cuba Gooding Jr., he doesn't look like OJ Simpson, but he embodies that character. You know what I mean? I recently found out you can go on YouTube and you can watch the entire OJ trial on YouTube in like 172 hours of video.
Whoa, really?
It's a ridiculous amount of YouTube videos, all hour lengths. Okay. And you see these characters on this show, you see them as their like live action counterparts. A couple of things changed here and there, but for I feel like I kind of give Ryan Murphy a little bit of shit because I've seen a lot of American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. But like American Crime Story seems to kind of capture that vibe of Ryan Murphy and real life all in one. You know 100%. What I mean? You get that real life feel. Like I didn't see OJ. I didn't see that trial growing up. I was 5 years old when it happened. But I get the sense of what was happening in that time. And it's a little dramatized and you're kind of like, oh, okay, we're acting right now. But it's it's incredibly well done.
In that one, the Versace and the Bill Clinton one, I mean, everybody is almost like caricatures of themselves. It's done in a way that it feels like
those realistic. Are the two seasons I've seen. It was the OJ one and the Bill Clinton one. And I only watched the Bill Clinton one because the OJ one was so good. You know what I mean?
Clive Owen was great in that.
He's amazing. I just watched Children of Men. I was like, I have to go back into this season because he's so good as Bill Clinton.
Why didn't you watch the Versace one?
I don't know.
It's good.
Thanks. You know,
it's disturbing. Okay? It's like it's kind of a fucked up story that I wasn't aware of. But
because I watched the OJ Simpson season, I was kind of into this like true crime / trial season, and that made me want to rewatch. I haven't put it on here. I'm rewatching Broadchurch right now.
Broadchurch.
Luis, have you seen this show?
I'm googling it right now.
Okay. Luis, please don't Google too much. Okay, stop. Okay.
Okay. Well, like, can I at least see the poster?
Just look at the. Yeah, but don't. Name. Yes, but also, what's her name? Yes, you're not gonna act like there's three. What's her names? You're not gonna act like we don't know the cast. Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just watching it right now, so I didn't mean to get too heated. But Ed Sein Broadchurch, I was kind of into this like trial season because season two of Broadchurch is a trial. They pivot from the true crime to the trial.
To true trial.
Can I say, let me say trial one more time. No, sorry. I'm watching Broadchurch. I'm having a great time. it's one of those hootenannies.
It's funny that you brought that up because I was literally driving the other day and I was just like, I would love to watch Broadchurch again. I'm kind of overdue.
Me, yes.
I don't think Sarah's watched it, so I might get her to watch it.
Luis, I'm glad, Ed, you're mentioning Sarah. Luis, I'm telling you and Sarah on your end right now.
Okay.
This is a show
it's one of the best shows of all time.
On television of all time.
Of all time.
So should I not watch Under the Bridge and just watch this instead?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, Luis, watch whatever you want to watch. I'm just saying... Broadchurch is a show you should be watching.
What is it? What is it streaming on?
It's on. So I was saying this earlier. It's on Prime. Okay, and you can watch it with ads. Okay,
or you can watch or it
however you want to view it, Luis.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was gonna say Broadchurch is up there with Breaking Bad. It's one of like the top tier shows you can watch. Okay. And Anna Gunn, who is in Breaking Bad, Skyler White, they did an Americanized version of the show, Broadchurch. I don't remember what it was called, but they did that show on American TV, and they only did the first season. It wasn't well-received. Michael Peña was in it, which is pretty dope. It wasn't well-received.
Who was it well-received?
But if you're going to watch it, hey, if we could get you to put...
Wait, hold on. Is it called Grace Point?
Yes, maybe. Yes. Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
But David Tennant is also in that show.
He yeah. came back. He came back for that role, what which is hell? Very disappointing. It's in the same sense that Death at a Funeral, they did an American version, uh-huh. and Peter Dinklage came back as that same character in both
those
movies.
That is so weird.
It is tough. It is tough to swallow. I haven't seen it, but the original UK or European version, okay? I don't want to be disrespectful to the United Kingdom, Ed.
That's right.
But the original version of that show, Broadchurch, is one of the best TV shows ever. The first two seasons are, from what I remember, top 10. Okay, the third season, not so much, but they wrap up the story in the first two seasons, and they decided, let's go a third one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But, Luis, it's only 8 episodes. Sit down, watch that first season with Sarah.
Okay.
And tell me you don't love that show. Okay.
All right. Tune in next week when I might watch this show to hear my opinion.
You know whose opinion I want to hear now, Luis, about a certain movie?
Who?
You.
Ed's into this one. Ed's into this one.
So I watched Girls 5 Eva, which is a show on Netflix, originally premiered on Peacock.
Instead of forever, I get it.
No, we'll talk about that in a second. I know what you're referring to. You're referring to Mission Impossible 7, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, right?
Yeah.
We don't call it thoughts. Part 1.
Initial thoughts about it. Not my favorite Mission Impossible movie. I thought it was okay. I really liked Hayley Atwell in this movie. I also like Palm Clemente. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them were great. It just feels like an incomplete movie. I mean, that's what it is. It's because like we just started going and then let's keep the mission going. And what's his name just like dips out in the middle of the movie. He's like, Ethan, I have to leave you now. And then, which was kind of odd.
Ving Rhames.
Yeah. I think it had some fun action pieces where like the car chase scene was really fun. But I think just leading up to it, like that first 30 minutes or 40 minutes, you could have trimmed that down. The pacing felt a little bit slow and odd and weird. And I think that just, I don't think that movie needed to be as long as it needed to be to only be a part one of a part two.
Sure.
I'm fine with this AI thing. I know some people had issues with that. Yeah, not my favorite. I'm excited to see what the next one's going to be just so we can finally like kind of get the full picture of it.
Right, of course. Yeah, definitely had the part one, what do you call it?
Problem. Syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. But did just remind me real quick to harken back to Monkey Man real quick about the fight scenes is like one of the fun things, and this plays to like the car chase scene in Mission Impossible 7, but like the fight scene in Mission Impossible Fallout in the bathroom, which I know I've referenced a lot, but the fun and exciting thing about those fights, step back and do it. but like the fun element, or like one of the biggest things of how those fights work are that a lot of things happen that are unexpected and unexpected for the characters too. Like you see Tom Cruise being and Henry Cavill getting like taken aback that this guy is kicking their ass so hard, and that's what makes it like such a hard-hitting fight, that they are scrambling to kind of get one dude under control. And you feel that intensity. Same with the Rome chase in Mission Impossible 7. Like, they are getting chased by three different parties at least at the same time throughout the city.
And they're handcuffed together. And
they're handcuffed together in a yellow fear. It's so great. It's so fun. But like, it's that kind of like energy that makes fight scenes fun when there's a little bit more unexpected and you feel like the two people fighting aren't expecting or anticipating every move from the other. Anyway, so that's a little tangent. I totally understand what you mean about the part one syndrome. I felt that, but I feel like especially with these Macquarie Mission Impossibles, the more I watch them, the more there is to find, like, sprinkled throughout, that just really makes them sing. I did feel that way. I think Fallout got my the best initial reaction from me, and it's stayed that way. Dead Reckoning, I've definitely had to warm up to a little more, as enjoyable as it is, but you're right, there is a lot going on, and especially in that first 30 minutes, 45 minutes, they cram in so much before they even get to Rome.
They cram so much, but also feel so, like, drawn out.
Why did they even go to, what was it, Abu Dhabi? Was it that? At the beginning in the desert chase?
Dude, I've already blacked out.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, though. It,
like,
is
it
a
didn't
lot.
Even matter. Like, obviously it didn't matter because I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Dobby, what's up?
Tom Cruise, he's gone through this, like, stunt era. Like, what do we feel about Tom Cruise coming into this, like, character acting era? Like, he was going to be in this Quentin Tarantino movie. It got shelved. But, like, he's...
I can see the slowdown a little bit. Do you know?
In a good way?
I remember that scene where he's, like, trapped and he's, like, behind the pole and then he, like, uses his core to, like, scooch his way up and just, like, is very quick and fast. That's, like, the Ethan Hunt. And here he's just a little bit slower and more economical about his movements, you know? So it's like, time gets to us all. And so it's...
He still sells it, though.
He does, and he still runs like hell.
Like a motherfucker, yeah.
There was one moment I was just like, damn, he's just running for 30, 40 seconds. Like, he's just still running. There was just a one shot of just a hallway, like, where he's just running.
Have you guys seen that meme? I think it was from the Mummy remake he did, where he's, like, running, and the other actress is, like, running full speed, and they're, like, and Tom Cruise is just jogging the entire time.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that, no.
Like, and it is. Like, he's just, like...
In the Mission Impossible movies, he books him. He's always back straight, hands quick. The VFX was the other thing that I guess I had some issues with. Like, when you talk about that big stunt where he's jumping off, it just looks like they just replaced
The buildup is the worst looking part about the whole movie.
Yeah, like the train, some parts of the train just looks a little bit shoddy. Like,
I know. This movie was shot during the pandemic, so a lot of it, and they already...
I think you can feel that.
Yeah, their process into making these movies now are fucking insane. They don't have a script. This movie started with that initial stunt. Tom just told Christopher McQuarrie, like, I want to ride off a cliff on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And that's how they worked it in. They didn't know how it was going to fit into the story, but they built it around, you know, moments like that. And then, like, with the pandemic, they had to adjust. That's why Ving Rhames isn't in the second half of the movie, because he couldn't get out of London. So they're saving him for, you know, Empire Podcast, shout out. We're giving so much free shit to these other companies. They had, like, hours long conversation, like, spoiler conversation with Christopher McQuarrie. Christopher McQuarrie about this movie, and it's like insane, just like how they put it all together. And, like, some of the actors don't know if they're going to be in it, if they're even going to get a line. Like, Shea Whigham didn't know if he was going to get a line or not, but he just wanted to be in it, so he just kind of made himself available, and they built his character over time. I don't know. It's maybe it's the filmmaking aspect to it that excites me so much, but I feel like since Rogue Nation, they've been like punch.
Yeah,
it's a fun franchise to keep up with, and it's like solid action.
We should definitely do a ranking when the eighth.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Yes.
So I could rewatch them. That's Mission Impossible. And then I'm just going to wrap it up with a little dessert. Sarah's been watching the show Girls 5 Eva, and she's watched it since season one on Peacock. Now their new season is on Netflix. I think they got dropped by Peacock, got repicked up by Netflix. And if you liked 30 Rock, if you liked Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, It is the same type of vibe. They even had another show called Great News, which only was out for two seasons, and not many people heard about it. But if you like those shows, this is a really funny show where, you know, where Tina Fey and her writing team, it's not Tina Fey didn't write this, but it's, you know, somebody who wrote for her. But, you know, you kind of get the tone and the vibe of those shows where it could be silly. It has that like music and they make funny commentary on society with just these one-line jokes. Oh, balloons. Biggest thing is Sarah Bareilles, you know, the singer.
Yeah,
she is like a lead in this comedy.
Stop.
And she's good. She's like really funny, and she plays almost this like Tina Fey-esque type of character who's just trying to get by, but she's being weighed down by being like, you know, this casual mom. And then the woman in Hamilton, what's her name? Who are the women in Hamilton? Miranda? No. Anyway, one of the main performers in the actual Broadway show, she is also in Girls Five Eva. And so they have these moments when they kind of sing and it's like, oh damn, they are really fucking good. And then you have let me just look up the cast, for God's sake, Luis.
I've got it pulled up.
Busy Phillips. If you know Busy Phillips,
yeah.
She's really funny as well. and Paula Pell is also in it, but it's a great cast. It has that Tina Fey vibe. It's by Meredith Scardino. It's in its third season. It's about these one-hit wonder band from the 90s getting a second shot at fame. And so they're just kind of in their journey as they're just like resurging themselves as like this girl band, just kind of older and trying to make it. So that's all. I've been watching that. It's a good time. next week, we're going to do our summer movie wager, where, again, we're going to try to guess what movie is going to be number one in the box office. The Light rules year. Are the movies are going to be in the range of May, the first Friday of May, all the way to Labor Day. Easy to remember.
Okay, let's go.
That's it, right? There's nothing else I got to say about some movie wager?
No.
Prepare to lose.
No.
until next time, it's been me, Humphrey Gonzalez, and with me's been
Miggy Smalls.
And Ed Ball. I didn't have one ready. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
And until next time, Latergators. Bye-bye.
Bye.